Dragon, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4. Wind, southeast. Ceiling, 12 months. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Every once in a while, fellas and girls, I run across an aviation story that almost makes me believe planes are human. That may sound silly to you, but a lot of our wartime airmen will back me up. Some planes, riddled with hundreds of bullets, somehow got back to home base, although from their condition they should have fallen apart. Flyers say ships like that wanted to get back. No matter what happened to them, they wouldn't go down. This story I'm going to tell you is post-war, but I think it shows that a plane can have a mind of its own. It's about a Navy PBY-5 Catalina, nicknamed fondly by Navy pilots Reluctant Ronald. Here's how Ronald got his name. A Navy crew was assigned to fly Ronald across country from Philadelphia to Seattle. Everything was going along on schedule until they were over Arizona. Then Ronald got temperamental. He developed engine trouble, and the crew looked around for a spot to make an emergency landing. Well, they found one in Lake Carl Pleasant, an artificial lake right in the heart of the Arizona desert. On the first landing attempt, Ronald came in over the dam, but then the crew found the water was so low that the plane couldn't lose enough altitude to get into the lake. So they zoomed up again and flew around to approach the lake from the other side, over the mudflats. Well, this time they made it. It was a close scrape, but Ronald got them down. Well, there was Reluctant Ronald sitting in the middle of the lake right in the heart of the desert, and the crew standing by on shore waiting for replacement parts to arrive. And that's where we'll leave Ronald for a while. I'll be back later to finish the story of Reluctant Ronald, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. A violent storm has broken over the open rangeland of eastern California, turning mid-afternoon to night, and lashing the parched ground with a torrential downpour. Hump and Tank, captured at gunpoint by Tex Regan and taken to a broken-down deserted shack situated in a narrow canyon miles from human habitation, suddenly find themselves in the greatest danger of their lives. For in the flickering blue-white glare of the almost continuous lightning flashes outside, they see a swirling tide of water rising the floor around them. As he strains against his bonds, his face white with horror, Pop explains their danger to Tank, his words almost drowned out by the rolling roar of thunder overhead.
This shack's in the middle of a dried-up riverbed, Tank. The storm's making the water pile up.
But Danny said it'll be swept away.
Yeah, if we're not drowned first, the water's already up to my knees.
Pop, try to get loose. Get to work on them ropes.
I've been working on them, but it's no use. They're soaking wet. They won't give an inch.
Oh, no, Hop. We'll drown like rats.
That's what Tex Regan meant when he kept saying the weather was just exactly right. He knew this would happen.
A dirty, rotten murderer.
Hey, what's that? Trees uprooted by the storm and falling down the river, crashing into the shack. Can't take much more of a pounding.
When that wall caves in, it's curtains. There it goes!
Stop! Holy! The window's broken.
Boy, the flying glass just missed my ear.
Tank, broken glass.
Huh?
Quick, try to get a piece.
But what? Jump the jennies to cut the rope.
Hurry up.
Yeah, sure. Oh, it ain't no good, Hop. It's all on the floor. I can't reach it. I fell over. I drowned.
There are still a few pieces in the window. Maybe I can get over there somehow.
Hop, watch yourself.
On a little plane, the ropes are on my feet. I think I can wriggle over.
Please, Hop, just fall near a corner. Watch it. Don't cut yourself.
I'm not going to worry about that at a time like this.
Hey, maybe I can wiggle over, too.
No, you stay put. Not stretch all up too far.
Oh, gosh. If only this joint will hold together so we can straight.
A few minutes is all we need. There. That's one
time. It's working. Get back.
Don't worry. I am.
Mother, if we get out of here in one piece, what I won't do to that freaking rat, I'll tear him apart. Now, help me. I'll turn him inside out.
Here they come. Another friend.
The water's up to my belt buckle, Hop.
We'll have to run like we've never run before when we get out.
If we get out, if we can run.
Hey, my hands are free. I'll have the rest of these ropes up. Hey,
Pop, the water's rising faster.
I know. Relax.
Relax? You're kidding? There's something I can't.
Hey, now look. Oh, here are you.
My hands are underwater. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it'll stink compared to what I just did. Hold still.
Pop, the wall's giving way. The corner's wiped out.
Still, will you?
We both can't make it. You go on. Save yourself.
Are you out of your mind?
Please, Pop. You won't have a chance.
If the wall goes, you'll come down. That's half of it. Please, shut up. I'm almost finished. Yeah. One more knot and you'll be clear.
Clear? The water's up to my neck. Two shakes, I'll be blowing bubbles.
Okay. How's that?
My left hand's free, but the other one's still tied to the chin.
I'll work on the ropes. Aren't you away?
Check. No.
Tank is still holding. Okay.
Thanks. I'll take it. Wriggle out of the rest.
Don't get tangled up.
There. Okay, I'm loose.
Now, come on. Hand it up.
We'll have to swim for it.
So what? At least we'll be out in the open. We'll have a better chance. Stand by now. I'm opening the door.
Wow. Look at it pour in.
Dive or we'll be trapped.
Taking deep breaths, Hop and Tank brace themselves momentarily, then plunge headfirst into the roaring torrent. For a seemingly endless time, the boys fight through the swirling waters. Their breath burns in their lungs, their chests ache with the strain. Then finally, they break through to the surface. Gasping for air and struggling to keep afloat, they manage to reach the safety of the bank.
Clark, let me look at you.
What?
You ain't a ghost?
Oh. Not by a long shot.
Oh, my gosh. How did you ever come?
Oh, don't ask me to help. Maybe your luck was really riding our shoulders that time. Well, you feel rested?
Yeah.
Well, then let's start making tracks.
Where are we going?
Back to Barstow. A long way, too.
Oh, what's the use of going back there?
Well, first of all, our ship is at the field in Barstow.
And what else?
That's where they'll pick up the trail of Reed and Joe Bell again.
Why, there won't be any place within 50 miles of the town.
Oh, it's done for good. Not if that $50,000 is still in the bank. Now, one chance of catching up to them again, Frank. When we do, we're going to pay them back for everything.
Okay, pal. We go to Barton.
Rubbing his fists in anticipation, Tank strides through the mud and rain alongside Hop, both eager for the opportunity to strike back at their enemies. But if Tex Regan has already been paid the ransom money, they won't have a chance. Gang, you won't want to miss the climax of today's episode, so stand by. Now, gang, let's get on with the story of Reluctant Ronald. You remember, we left Ronald, a Navy Catalina flying boat, on a lake in Arizona, right in the very heart of the desert. The crew was standing around on the shore waiting for replacement parts to arrive. Well, that lake is in an out-of-the-way spot, and it took a long time for the parts to get there. And to make things worse, it was right in the middle of the dry season. Little by little, the water got lower and lower until finally there wasn't even enough left for a takeoff. Well, by this time, old Ronald was all fixed up, but he couldn't go anyplace. There wasn't anything to do but wait for the rainy season to fill the lake. The crew didn't like that very much, but Ronald seemed very happy about the whole thing. For 4 months, the Catalina flying boat stayed out in the desert. Well, Ronald must have liked that because he was ticketed for duty over the ocean. Maybe he didn't want to go. Well, months passed and the lake filled up again. And once more, Ronald continued his flight to Seattle. But that little vacation in the desert must have spoiled him because it wasn't long before he developed some more engine trouble. It was over the Salton Sea in California where the PBY-5 was forced down for the second time. This time, the crew was determined not to take any more nonsense. They got spare parts sent up from San Diego in a jiffy, and the next day, Ronald arrived in Seattle. Now he's fulfilling his Navy mission serving as a patrol plane over the Pacific. If you ever wanted proof that a plane had a mind of its own, here it is. It usually takes a few hours to fly from Philadelphia to Seattle, but it took Reluctant Ronald more than 4 months. And say, fellas and girls, don't you be reluctant about planning a career in the air. This country needs pilots and technicians for the future. So get set to take your place in the air, and always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. It is late afternoon. The storm has broken, and only a few scattered clouds remain, now tinted golden in the rays of the slowly setting sun.
We find Hoff and Tank riding in a small, rickety pickup truck, having been lucky enough to get a lift out on the desert road. As the truck wheels into the outskirts of Barstow, Tank turns to the driver.
Sure glad you came along when you did. We'd have had ourselves a long hike.
You can say that again. Glad I was able to help.
Hey, Hoff, take the back.
Fire?
Want to let you off there?
No, no, we're going on for the airfield.
Oh, okay. Why can't play sure high?
Hey, watch it!
Race around the big car and follow the road.
Thanks, that's Ivan Ivanov's car.
Stop with Jenny. He stopped at the bank.
Hey, let us off here, will you, sir?
I thought you wanted to go to the airfield.
Well, we have to stop here first, please.
Okay. Over. There you are.
Pilot, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for the lift.
Don't mention it. Don't slam the door or you'll fall off.
Okay.
Come on, there's a bottle getting out of the car.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what are we doing here? We shall keep out here.
Roaring as usual.
But Mr. Ivanov, you said you wanted to come here. Oh, but so where is everybody? What can we do standing on these streets like dumb
souls? Mr. Ivanov! Hey! Mr. Ivanov!
Mr. Harrigan, Mr. Pinker!
Boy, sure was lucky we spotted you. He almost missed you.
Missed me? And what, may I ask, have you been doing?
Oh, gosh, don't ask.
Don't ask? That is exactly what I'm doing, Mr. Pinker. Fine, how are you, this is? Everybody deserves Ivanov in his hour of need.
Please, Mr. Ivanov, calm yourself.
How can I calm myself with... Oh, my uncle, Mr. Peabody, the peppermint.
Yes, sir.
Now, Mr. Harrigan, you'll please explain.
That's what I've been trying to do, sir.
So commence beginning.
Well, we followed Dixie here to the Boston Bank. Heard her making arrangements about the payment of the $50,000.
So she is really giving that cowmonger Texas Regan money for the horse?
That's right, sir. The only thing I'm worried about now is that Regan has already been here at the bank to collect.
Well, the joint's closed. It's after 3.
I just have to hope he didn't contact Dixie in time.
But what about Dixie, darling? Why should she go away?
What do you mean, go away?
That is what she told me.
When did you talk to her?
I did not talk to her.
Mr. Ivanov, you're not making sense.
Nothing is making sense. Here, look at this, Mr. Harrigan.
What, Hart?
That's the note.
By airmail it comes this afternoon.
Airmail?
Straight from the aeroplane. It dropped almost on Ivanov's head.
Tank, listen. Please forgive me, Ivan. I hate to run out on you like this, but I must. There's been too much trouble, and I just have to get away. Don't try to find me, because you won't be able to. Signed, Dixie Davenport.
Reaching the end of the strangely worded message, Hoff's voice trails off, and bewilderment mirrored in his eyes, he stares at Tank, then at Ivan Ivanov, but both shrug their shoulders. What does this note mean? What is Dixie up to now?
Gang, there's action and suspense in our next exciting episode, so don't fail to listen. Tune in and fly with Hoff Harrigan, America's Ace of the Airwaves.
Come on, Hoff. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hoff Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine and is brought to you Monday through Friday, same time, same mutual station.